Hi, everyone, and welcome to this week's episode of Relationship Talks. I am your host, Laurie Brooke, and together we will get to take a look at what goes on behind closed doors. Today, I am joined by Michelle Ogston.
Hi, I'm Michelle Ogston. I am a relationship coach and psychic medium who is a spiritual mentor. And I am here today to talk to you about masculine and feminine energy.
Michelle Ogston is a certified intuitive relationship coach and psychic and spiritual mentor. She likes to say she works with people from the inside out. Her passion is to help people learn to make a deep connection within so they can harness their personal power and step out of fear and live in flow. Her work includes mediumship, mentorship, energy work, coaching, and a vast array of intuitive practices she's been cultivating over the last 30 years. Michelle truly believes you're one decision away from changing your whole life. Hi, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Relationship Talks. As you would have heard in the introduction, I'm here with Michelle, and we're going to be talking about feminine and masculine energy, which I think is a super interesting topic that we need to unpack when it comes to relationships. But before we get there, Michelle, thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure, honor.
I'm really excited about this conversation, but before we get there, what's your story? How did you end up sitting here in front of me?
What's my story? I know, right? This is always like the unpacking of everything. Like, what's my story? So my story is that I'm a mom and I am a business owner, and I was finding myself really depressed, like down in my marriage. And I was doing all the things. I was going to the gym. I was eating right. I was, you know, involved. I was in the PTA, and I was doing all the things that, you know, when you are going through some sort of depression, that you do to help yourself feel better, and nothing was working. And I found myself at the end of my bed one day, just kind of like really in it. You know, when you feel in it, you're like, oh, this is a day. Like, this is, I'm like struggling today. And we get this huge email blast from the school letting us know that one of the moms who was in the PTA had dropped her kids off at school and went up to this very popular sort of like overlook. I live in the Bay Area in California, and she killed herself. And I was sitting there at the end of the bed, and I just had this overwhelming feeling of, could this be me? Could I get to a place of like such deep, dark depression that I would make that choice? And I had lost somebody to suicide about 20 years prior, and I knew this like slippery slope of depression. And that day, I always say she saved my life. And I started therapy and I started working on myself, that deep connection within. And I left my marriage and was so unbelievably happy. Like, I found myself again, and all the places that I was lurking and like searching for myself, actually found myself again. Happy to say that I went on, have a beautiful new relationship. I'm married, been married for 5 years. So it was just a catalyst of change for me in such a deep way, profound way. And so I'm here today because my part of what I do is, I, like you heard in my bio, I am a psychic medium. My big connection is to love and death. And so I took that energy and that gift, and I use it to help people in their relationships.
Wow. That is a powerful story.
Thank you. Thank you.
Did you work as a psychic medium before all of this, or is this something that you've done?
I have been for so long. I'm 48 now. I started when I was 16 doing training. I did have a stint of time. I have a very eclectic career, but part of my time was as a psychic medium. But I actually knew that a boyfriend was going to die, and a week later he died. And I took this huge break, and I was like, I can't do this anymore. How is this a gift? Like, how is knowing people going to die a gift? It took me years to unravel that part of it. And so kind of have going through my own transformation and my own journey, finding myself, going through codependency, recovering codependent, becoming people pleaser, right? Like being in my own energy, finding myself being like, this is why I'm here. This is who I am. Understanding that part of the story, that part of the gift has enabled me to go forward with it. It took a lot of years though.
Yeah, I could
a lot
understand
of
that.
Yeah.
So how did you end up, I suppose, helping people from an energy perspective when it comes to relationships? How did that unravel though?
Right. So I started out as a very traditional coach. I think I was like a mindset coach when I first started. I mean, we're all looking for like, you know, the catchphrase, the, you know, niche that you're in. And I mean, I think I changed like, I probably have changed like 15 times to be completely honest. It was like mindset coach, empath coach. I mean, you name it. I probably have had it. Empowerment coach. And in all honesty, it was just this natural evolution to being like, what am I doing? Like, this is my natural gift. This is the essence of who I am. This, I do something called lead from the soul. And I'm like, when you lead from the soul, I mean, you are naturally in your own unique gifting. So what am I doing calling myself anything but this? So that is how I ended up in that relationship segue, is that my natural gifting is really in relationships and understanding the dynamics between men and women and generational traumas and stuff we bring in, that we pack our relationships full of all the suitcases that we have, right? Like I call them rollies. Like we bring up the rollies in the back, like all the things that we come into our relationships with. So this is my unique gifting. So it was just a natural transition of like, stand in who you are, like be who you are and own that.
And how are you enjoying it?
I love it. I love my job. I love what I do. I love people. So for me, this is just like, it's heaven. Like heaven. It's like, I get to do this for a living. Yeah. Like I was saying before we started, I think recording, I was like, yeah, I just got back from Maui. You know, I've been in Maui on a retreat. I mean, so this is my job. I'm like, oh, I get paid for this. This is amazing. Yes.
I know I said tough life.
It's very tough, right? No, not at all. It's luxurious and lovely. And every piece of it is amazing.
How was Maui?
Maui was amazing. Have you been to Maui?
Yes.
Okay. So for me and anyone who's listening, who's been to Maui, I mean, like the minute you get off the plane, it's like, you just anchor in. There's something about the magic of Maui. That's what I say. I mean, you barely have to even go into a meditative state to be there. It's like you close your eyes and you're like, oh, I mean, it just completely anchors you in. I love Maui. Love Maui. Can't get enough of Maui.
So tell me, in terms of your clients and the work that you do with them, what is it that you do with regards to this feminine and masculine energy?
So what's interesting is, you know, as, and this is not specific to like males and females. Let me be very specific, right? Like you can be in the LGBTQI community and have somebody who's in feminine energy and have somebody who's in a more masculine energy. So it's really about energy. But for the sake of today, we're going to talk about like traditional relationships. And I don't even like to use that word, but let's just say a man and a woman, so that for easy comprehension. So when we understand like what naturally is in us as a human being, or what energy we are naturally in, we understand people in a better way. And honestly, so much like the key to so many successful, loving, healthy relationships is not only communication, right? We can all agree on that, but understanding how you naturally work. It's why the Five Love Languages by Gary Chapman is so popular, because it gives us like a blueprint to understand how people work in relationships. But I find when you can speak about energy in that way, where you're like, oh, I understand why he doesn't want to take me to bed anymore, because I'm super in the masculine and he's a heterosexual man and I'm behaving like a masculine man. Oh, okay. That makes sense. Like when you can name it and you understand it, man, it just takes everything out. Like all the guesswork. I mean, think how many times we spend like just ruminating on thoughts of like, well, what if he doesn't think I'm attractive? And what if he thinks I'm fat? And what, like all that we go in, like the rabbit hole of despair of like we go into, and it's nothing. It's not that at all. Like he probably thinks you're the hottest person in the whole world. He just doesn't see you like that anymore because he's looking at you in a very masculine way.
I love that because for me, I feel like I'm a lot of the time in the masculine energy. I very much just get down and do it. And I'm trying to change to that feminine energy, but I struggle doing that.
Yes.
Do you have clients that struggle?
Oh my gosh. Especially corporate women, that like, that is, it is a very challenging balance for women who are in the corporate setting. Because in all honesty, so much of the corporate world is designed for the masculine energy. And so women go into this role and they have to be like a male or in masculine energy. They have to plan, they have to do, they have to give all the time. And then they come home and they bring the same energy in and they're like, wait, what? So that switch when you get home into that feminine energy is like, that's like, it's almost like you have to visualize walking through the door that you are like this goddess being walking through the door. And you, for the rest of the night, you get to just be. You don't have to do anything you don't want to do. Like you are being, you are receiving, and it's like a complete switch. But it takes time because you're so used to like, I've got to do these things and I have these checklists and I've got emails. And in all honesty, if we could kind of, and I've been working with a lot of corporate women about this right now, so it's funny that you brought this up, about learning how to stand in your unique gifting as a female in a male role, you will watch like your sales go through the roof because you are traditionally, like you are naturally intuitive as a woman, that's feminine energy. And so you can like sell like you have never sold before when you like sit into your feminine energy. Now having male support you in this can be a little bit more challenging, but stepping into that can like really boost your productivity at work in a corporate environment.
It's such an interesting concept because for me, when I first heard the terms feminine and masculine energy, I think I just went, oh, well, I'm female, I'm feminine, and men are masculine, and did it in my head. That was very logical.
Totally.
But it is something that you, as a woman, you can hold both, and as a man, you can hold both.
Yes. Very much so. And I will definitely say, especially for your listeners who might be single parents, this is really challenging because you have to play both the male and the masculine role so much. And it's why you feel so exhausted all the time. So if you have any single parents listening right now, like I honor all of you. I was a single parent too at one point. And it's part of the reason of the exhaustion is you're constantly switching really fast from like male role. Like I have got to plan all this stuff. And then I get to be for like 2 seconds, like maybe in the bathroom, if you're lucky. And we all know as moms, you don't get that much time in the bathroom, right? Like I can take a shower and my kids stand in the bathroom with me while I'm in the shower. Like, hey mom. So who? We have all these conversations. Like you guys know I'm in the shower, right? Okay, great. Let's just do this.
Because I don't want to know you when you're doing anything else in the house.
No. Yeah. It's like, oh, wait, what are you doing? So for all the single parents, it's part of the reason why you feel so exhausted all the time is not only are you having to switch very quickly, but you have to be both roles like so much of every single day and you don't get a break ever.
So how do you, I suppose, for those who are struggling, because I think it's very easy to get into the masculine energy. How do you know when you're in the feminine energy?
The feminine energy is really about being. It's about receiving. It's about being intuitive. It's about being playful. So when you're in those moments of like spontaneous laughter and you're like, oh, you're like have the giggles, that's very feminine energy. Receiving is very, it can be very challenging. And you know, if you're not in the feminine energy, if I was like, your hair is so beautiful. And you're like, oh, thanks. Oh, yours is too. Like if you feel like you have to give a compliment back, that's an indication that like, I'm not really good at just receiving. If you've ever had trauma, receiving can like not feel good because you've learned that in order to receive, there might be pain. So you can find a lot of your wounds too, when you're kind of working with this energy of like, ooh, this is hard for me to receive because I feel like I have to give back, or there's some uncomfortable feeling in my body. That would be embodiment work, like feeling into your body of like, ooh, this doesn't feel good. So this is how you know you're not in the feminine. If you have a struggle with those things, you are not in the feminine.
So how long did it take for you to, I suppose, understand and actually get into that feminine role and be comfortable in that role?
Yeah, I think that word that you just said, comfortable, was like such a huge part of it. Because, you know, I think especially if you are a female and you were like, I want to be that more, it looks so luxurious, but doing it, you're like, oh, this is a whole other ballgame. This feels so different in my body. Again, because you're so used to doing, like you were saying, like you're very comfortable at doing, you're very comfortable at like giving. And that can be a real challenging concept for people who are people pleasers, because you want to please. And so you spoil your man, or you do things, you know, to like almost overcompensate. Like we do all these things. Now, let me be very clear. Like some people question this part, like, what do you mean I can't spoil my man? Like there is a fine line with this, as far as like learning that, like cooking dinner, I'll use that as an example. Like if you're cooking dinner and you love to cook and you're like, oh, I love this, and I'm going to make this nutritious meal, and he gets to benefit from like that, that's a really feminine thing. So there's a lot of things you can do that like benefit your partner that are very much the feminine energy. So
yeah, it's
I
not
learned
about
because go ahead.
Sitting there and, you know, having someone wave a fan on you and feed you dinner and rub your feet and do all of that all the time.
I mean, that sounds lovely.
It does, but I don't think my husband would, you know, do that for me 24/7 when I walked in the door.
Right.
But it is about really creating those moments that, I suppose, fill me up or fill us up, and can also do something to benefit the relationship. Is that right?
It is. I mean, and I think this is what's really interesting, because I do a lot with people who are dating, and understanding that in order for a woman to open up, the man has to create security and safety. That is their job. And that can be really challenging, especially if you are in a relationship where there's been an affair, where that trust has been broken. A lot of men will complain, like when I'm doing relationship work, and a lot of men will complain, like, you know, she doesn't want to have sex with me. And so my first question will be like, well, how have you made her feel safe? And he'll be like, what do you even mean? That's like what? But when men start to understand like this role of like, my role is to help her feel safe, to create environments where she feels safe, what happens for the feminine energy is we just naturally open up. Like you're like, oh, I feel so safe with him. He's so beautiful. I just feel like I can be myself. I'm not worried about what I look like. I'm not worried about anything. I just am opening myself up to him. But women cannot open up if they do not feel safe. And so oftentimes women will blame themselves for like, why don't I want to have sex? I don't understand. And a lot of times it's just, you're not feeling totally safe right now in the relationship for whatever reason, even if there wasn't an affair. It can be something just very simple. Like, I don't feel appreciated. I don't know if he finds me attractive anymore. Like there can be a lot of things that are at play in that. But I think when we can understand, like we always start there, like, how do we make her feel safe? Like, how do when you feel safe, what does that look like to you? And then you communicate that to your partner. Like, I feel so safe when you XYZ, like when you hold my hand in public, I feel so safe. Like, I feel like I'm just being led through the crowd and it's so nice. Cool. Great. Let's start there. And then these little tiny things play a huge impact in our relationship.
So then let's flip it. What do women need to do for the man?
Yes. So again, we start with the male, right? Because a woman is not going to really open up. And if she does, she's typically overcompensating. And I mean that in the most generous way of like, she wants to please so badly that she wants to create that connection. And so she's willing to do anything. And you can, it's not like you can't, obviously we know a lot of relationships that do, but that like authentic, soft, like nature about the feminine energy will come forth in safety. But what women have to do, and have to. I use that word very carefully. But when you're really cultivating that feminine energy, it's learning how to sit back. This can be very challenging if you're in the doing energy because it feels like you're lazy. It feels like you're not doing anything. You're like, what are we talking about? Like, what do you mean, like, not do much? It's like giving yourself a break, taking care of yourself. What does that look like to you? You know, making time for yourself, making yourself the priority. And for women, especially if you're, you know, you're in a partnership or a marriage and you have kids, and I mean, life doesn't leave a lot of room to just kind of like be. And so that's what I find is, you know, men are like, what are you talking about safety? And women are like, are you kidding me? How am I going to just be? I can barely like get to the bathroom in time, right? So learning that, like, this is something like I need to sit back into. Moving your body, movement, huge for feminine energy. You want to keep moving that body. So it is really about taking care of yourself because men want to, now, like men in their masculine energy just want to like be with the feminine energy. They're like just drawn to it.
So what do you do, Michelle? I have to ask, in terms of, you know, sitting in your feminine energy and being, what is it that really makes you feel there?
So I feel like my feminine energy is really cultivated just from a lot of being. So I do spend a lot of time being. I meditate. I move my body a lot. I honor myself in the things that I feel like I need. So if I have a day where I'm like, I need a break today, like tonight, I need to not do housework. I'm going to sit down and I'm going to binge watch Sex in the City until I fall asleep. Then I honor that. Like I really listen to my body. I spend a lot of work on embodiment. So I listen to what my body needs. Like, am I craving certain food? Am I feeling like I need to communicate my needs? Like, am I needing a hug? Like, am I wanting to be close? I'm trying to think all of the things I do. Like, what else do I do? Let's see. I'm very intuitive, but that's natural for me since, you know, I'm creative. So I spend time being in that creative energy. That's very feminine energy. And a lot of women don't get time to be creative, but you can be creative in a lot of different ways. You can be creative with food. You can be creative with your dress. You can be creative with your hair. You can be creative, you know, in any way. Just learning to be in that creative energy is very feminine. You are a very good supporter when you're in feminine energy. So how can you support the people around you? Sometimes we take that one on too much, but that's a whole other show.
Yeah, that's a whole show on boundaries there.
I also teach boundaries, so we can do a whole other show on that.
It's such a fascinating concept. And I use the word concept because it is hard to, when you hear it for the first time, to get your head around it.
Oh, totally.
And to understand and figure out who you are and which energy you sit in most of the time, and then to actually conceptualize, well, how do I make that change? Like, absolutely. I know that I need to change into the feminine energy more, but that's been a work in progress for a long time. And there's probably people out there who need to go the other way.
Yes.
And to change that can be difficult.
Absolutely. I mean, I see this a lot. Like, men will come in a very feminine energy and they're like, I just feel like I cannot attract anybody. And I'm like, okay, well, let's talk about it. And I'll give you like this little quiz of like, which one do you relate more to find out like which energy you really have? Because that's really where we start. It's like, what energy do you have? Do you have masculine or feminine energy? And then we know how to work on it. And you'll be surprised how many men are actually in feminine energy and they're like, but I can't attract a woman. I'm like, well, because you're feminine. You're in a feminine role and you're trying to attract the opposite. I mean, and that's what polarity is. I mean, that's really what we're speaking to right now is polarity of like, when you have two magnets that are the same, they don't come together, right? So you want to have some of the opposite. And that's why it doesn't matter what sex you are. It's just being like this polarity for each other. So you naturally are drawn to each other like a little magnet.
About your relationship.
Okay.
What do you and your husband do to make sure that you are bringing the right energy? for each other.
Yeah. So the first thing I would say is we really allow each other to be who we are. Like my husband's a very masculine man. And so I allow him to do that. And what I mean, and this was challenging for me, I'll be honest. Like in the beginning, I was like, wait, you want to lead on what? Especially with money and finances, coming out of a divorce and like having had a lot of financial challenges, I would say, and that's a very nice way to put it. A lot of challenges coming out of divorce and rebuilding. There was a very almost like resistance to letting him lead. And he worked in finance. Let me be very honest. My husband is a financial planner. So, I mean, my money was going to be very safe, but still there was this resistance in my body of like, ooh, I don't know. So he is very good about like supporting me in that role of like, okay, she needs a lot more guidance with this. And like, let me eke in where I felt safe. So that's something for us is like, we've really learned to allow each other to be exactly who we are in these relationships. I do let him lead a lot. That does not mean I don't have a say. And a lot of women are like, what do you mean? He just rules the roost. I'm like, no, not at all. Like he comes in and like, we as a team discuss ideas and like, what do you think? And I, you know, we both can ask questions about like, why do you think that's good for the family? Why do you think it's good? So, I mean, it's very much discussed. And that one, I think, is the hardest one for like people to wrap their heads around is that leadership one. It's always like, what do you mean? But very masculine men lead. I mean, they definitely lead. They have ideas, they have plans. And there's a lot to be said to allow that to happen. And I know some people are going to be like, you might get some good comments on that one. People are going to be like, what?
Yeah,
that's the one I get the most resistance on.
It very much is. I think people can tend to jump back to feeling like we're stepping back in time and saying, totally. You know, we're going back to the 1950s housewives. You do what you're told. You make sure dinner's on the table when they get home at 5 o'clock and all of, you know, that whole mental picture that you build up in your head as to what that means.
Right.
But it isn't that.
No.
And I think that's a very important distinction is that being able to allow them to lead, but lead in a collaborative environment.
Right. And I think it's actually, and if I can't talk about this on your show, you can just be like, Michelle, don't talk about this. But I think sometimes it's almost easier if you think about it and like, as it applies in the bedroom. Okay. So can I do this with you?
Yeah, go for
it. I won't make you do it specifically, but if you think about these things, right. And let's pretend you and I are super in the feminine role. Okay. In bed, we want men to be doing, giving, planning what they're going to do to us, stable, confident, sharing, like talking to us, strong, leading, driven, decisive, and very singular focused on the task that they're doing. Okay. In bed, as a woman, we really want to be in like the being, we want to be there. We want to be ravished. We want to receive this. We want to be surrendering. We want to be spontaneous. We want to like listen to whatever they have to say. We want to be creative and have fun with it. We want to be like flexible and open and very much in our bodies. So when you think about it like in a sexual way, it makes you go, oh yeah, that sounds really good.
And
so sometimes they start there.
Yeah. Take it out of the bedroom and put it into everyday life.
Yeah. Exactly. So sometimes it's easier to start in the bedroom, especially if you already have like a really good connection, but you're just trying to work on energy. It's sometimes fun to play with it like in the bedroom and then you move it outside. Although I can tell you that when your sex life is great, it's like 20% of your relationship. When it's not great, it's 80. I mean, it's such a big percentage of your relationship. So sometimes it's good to start in there because it kind of bleeds into everything else, but everything outside the bedroom goes into the bedroom. So it's like this dance you're always kind of doing, but it does it. And I was telling you, like, it's very reflective when you start doing this kind of work, because it really brings up like a lot of your wounds. So like, if you had a lot of masculine wounds, then you would have a fear of like not being enough or failing. And you hear men say this sometimes, you know, or you haven't been seen. Maybe you have a fear of being controlled. You might've had a really controlling mother. And so you have these like wounds from the masculine side. If you have feminine wounds, then you might have a fear of being let down. You might have a fear of lack of trust or connection. You might also have a feeling of being misunderstood. So these are like some of the fears and wounds that come up with energy work.
Wow, I've never heard of that.
Oh.
In terms of the wounds. So once you've identified the wounds, what do you do to, I suppose, move forward to work through them?
Yeah, and so I think some of it is understanding, you know, what these wounds are, right? You know, understanding that these fears and these wounds come together in a way that, like, how do you start, really, was your question. And I don't want to go off on a tangent. So it's about ready to just go off on a tangent right there. And I was like, don't go off on a tangent, Michelle. Really, we have to learn how to be vulnerable. And I mean, everybody, whether it's energy work or not, is learning how to be vulnerable, right? It's like the chicken or the egg. What comes first? Are you safe and then you be vulnerable? Or do you test it out and you're vulnerable to see if you're safe? And there's no right or wrong, but that's what we're all playing with, is like, where do we feel vulnerable enough to step into this empowerment? And when we have these wounds, right? Like I was telling you about, those were like the fears that you have. The wounds that show up with them are like, if you're a really wounded masculine energy, you might be controlling and aggressive and a perfectionist. You might be overthinking, overdoing. You might avoid things. And if you are wounded feminine, you might be codependent. You might be inauthentic. You might be insecure. You might be needy. You might be over emotional. These are things like that feminine wounding. But when you're trying to move into that, you're trying to think about, like, okay, where do these come from? I mean, this is a big, deep, like, answer, which is like, you really are trying to be in that energy of like, where is that fear and that wound coming from, right? Like, so identifying that of, where does that wound really come from? What happened in your life that you have this wound around that energy? So maybe you have a father that was abusive or controlling, or maybe you have a mother that was that way. You might have had your parents be in the opposite roles energetically, and so that might be confusing for you. So usually the wound, I mean, as most things, go back to childhood, of like where it starts and like how we bring it forward and it shows up in our current day. So
that's fascinating. I have one last question for you.
Okay.
What do you believe the secret is to relationships?
I think the secret to relationship is being really great at communication, obviously. And I think that's like almost a no-brainer, but I think something else that really helps is, one, of being understanding, and two, of understanding forgiveness in relationships. Mm-hmm. I know we talk a lot about communication, but I honestly believe that forgiveness happens on a daily basis, where, like, let's say you were leaving the house and your husband was like, oh, I got the dishes today. And then you come home and he didn't do the dishes. Forgiving him for not doing the dishes. I mean, it is on like a daily plane of forgiving, because there's so many times in where we just build up resentment because we didn't forgive. We weren't being understanding of, well, he got stuck in traffic and he thought he was going to be able to do it before he left, but the dog got out and he didn't have time. And like, we don't go into that role of like, I got you, you got me. I got you, you got me. Like, we aren't competing. Like, we are not competing against each other. And there's a lot of competition in relationships I see of like, you owe me, what have you done for me lately sort of thing, right? And it's really, we're not competing. We're on the same team and we're here to like really understand and forgive each other. We're human. Like, we're all human. He's human. You're human. We are not these perfect beings that like we want to be. And then communication.
Yeah. That was very well said. Couldn't agree more with you. Thank you so much for coming on the show. It's been a pleasure talking to you. And I feel like there's so much more we could talk about.
Thank you. I hope so. I hope that helped. I hope someone has some clarity around something or understanding, like, ooh, I have that wound. Because it's an interesting concept when you first start kind of playing around with it.
Absolutely. And one that requires a lot of work. So I'll make sure that all of your contact details go in the show notes below the show and in our posts as well. So thank you so much, Michelle.
Thank you so much for having me. An honor. Thank you.
Thank you.
And thank you so much for listening to this week's episode of Relationship Talks. If you can, I would love for you to jump on and leave a review. And whilst you are at it, don't forget to like and subscribe to our YouTube channel. Please join me again next week when we get to take a look behind closed doors at someone else's relationship. But until then, I am your host, Laurie Brooke. And remember, the choice is yours, so make today and the week the very best it can be.